Okay, the creation days, we're going to start rather simply. We're going to start at the beginning. When we first came back to Rochester, I gave a series of about five or six messages on this, but that was about 12, 13 years ago, and many of you were not in our audience at that time. And so for those of you that were here, maybe a little review is good. If you need to catch up on an app and you've got it all, that's okay. But we will be giving things for the story of the creation days. We'll start reading in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth segregation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God called, and God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, and with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the earth, on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then we'll go to chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Shall we bow for a word of prayer as we begin? Dear God in heaven, we thank you for this bit of scripture that we have here for this description of the wonderful world that you have created for us. And we know that man has come on in, sin has degraded much of it, but we're just so grateful for all the beauty that we see and for the explanation of what we have here. Now we pray that you would bless us throughout this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, I just read through the creation days. And when we think about the creation days and the creation story, there are several different views of this. The first view of this is the allegorical theory. The allegorical theory takes Genesis 1 through 11, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and says that this is not really literal. We do not take these things as they were written, but that God knew that we would not be able to understand how it took place. And so that he described this in words that we could take place. It's kind of like the little boy who came home from Sunday school and his mother asked him, "What did you learn today?" And he said, "Well, we learned about how Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea." And they said, "Well, how was that?" Well, he says they brought in these big ships and they loaded people up on them. And then they brought in some other things like this that would push these ships around and push them across the sea and so on. And he just kept going on and on. And his mother said, "Is that really the way your teacher taught that?" "No, but if I told you the way she taught it, you wouldn't believe that anyway." So anyway, this is kind of the allegorical story, or the allegorical theory, that God did not think we would be able to understand what he had done. Now, the allegorical theory has been around for quite a few years and probably got started with the advent of the science boom, when the scientists were coming up with various theories of evolution. And especially the age of the earth, as they came up with this, that they had to have some way of describing what the Bible said, and so they went with the allegorical theory. The second method that we have is the day-age theory. Now, the day-age theory depends on how long the day is, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. But the day-age theory, there's two basic ways in which this is described. One of these is theistic evolution, and the other one is progressive creationism. Theistic evolution is the idea that God created some substance at the beginning, and that this substance now, pretty much on its own, developed into all of the things that we have today. All of the different plants and animals and so on developed from this organism that God created. And that there was a God, yes, and he did start life, but then he just kind of let things go. Well, the people that believed in the literal Bible didn't like the idea that they had the word evolution in there. And so they then came up with, instead of using evolution, they came up with progressive creationism. Now, progressive creationism is exactly the same thing as theistic evolution, except you don't have the word evolution in there, and that this might not be a turnoff that some people would think it is. But that God did create, and maybe he kind of directed all of the changes that take place. Now, there used to be a scientific or a creation scientist by the name of Duane Gish, and he liked to say that, you know, he directed from fish to gish. And so you went all the way from fish and their where they lived and how they lived to what we have for man today. But we see that this day-age theory has been around for a considerable length of time. Another theory which came up was called the gap theory. Now, if Some of you have or go back to the King James Bible, the Scofield edition. They had the gap theory in there. Now, the gap theory was something that was also advanced quite a bit. I don't know how many of you remember Theodore Epp from Back to the Bible broadcast in Lincoln, Nebraska. He had all through the Midwest, he had Bible commentaries and Bible programs and so on, and he pushed the gap theory also. The idea with the gap theory was that God created, and he created pretty much as he wanted to, and then something happened. Maybe this was Satan's fall, we're not sure, but something happened that pretty well destroyed everything, and then we started over again, and we came up with the creation that we have now. Now, the gap theory is built on something which we have there's two words in here, and it says that the earth was without form and void. Now, there are two Hebrew words that we have here, and the form was a Hebrew word, tuhu, and void was buhu. And so some people have called this the tuhu wa buhu theory. But anyway, this theory was the idea that this creation that God made became totally vacant, totally disheveled, and that it was destroyed, and then we had to start on over again. And some of the proof texts that they used for this, one of these was in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 23. Jeremiah 4:23 says, I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void. The same two words that we have here in Genesis 1:2. And to the heavens, and they had no light. So they say that, well, in Jeremiah's day, we had the same thing. There was destruction. Well, the destruction that we have with Jeremiah was as the conquerors were coming on in, and they destroyed much of what the Jews had done, and they took the Jews back in captivity. But it wasn't something that was totally destroyed. They just caused things to be somewhat disheveled. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it. He did not create it empty, he formed it to be inhabited. Now, my explanation and my understanding of the without form and void is that when God created the earth, It was first covered by water. What form does water have? It doesn't have any form. It takes on the form of its container. And so we would have, when God says that the earth was without form, it didn't have a form other than the container, which in this case was gravity, which God had provided. And so we have this completely. And it was void. Now, this does not mean that it was incomplete, that it was something that couldn't be used. But see, when you move into a new house, we had the opportunity of building our own house when we moved to Rochester. So when we moved into the house, we built it, we had all of the things in, but it was void. It was empty. And there were things that we needed to do to make it our home. Well, God did the same thing. When God created the earth, he had this creation that wasn't finished, and so he had to add all of the accoutrements to it. Now, if the accoutrements that you would have, if it's for you guys, that would probably be something totally different than when you add the ladies' aspect to it. And that's probably good. But anyway, we have this, that God had to fill this. Then we also have another theory here, which is the solar day theory. Now, the solar day theory is the idea that I used to call this the 24-hour theory, 24-hour day theory. And some people were correcting me on this and saying that, you know, that the day isn't exactly 24 hours. It's a little bit short of that. See, this is why we have leap year. You have leap year every once in a while because we have, it doesn't quite come out with our calendar. But then every so often, we skip leap year. And the reason we skip leap year is because we've made up too much time there. And so our calendar doesn't fit the rotation and the revolution of the earth around the sun and the rotation on its axis exactly. And so I switched to a solar day theory. Now, here in our culture, you start your day at midnight, all right? That's the official beginning of the day. You go from midnight all the way around to midnight. Other cultures do it differently. The Jews start their day at sundown. And so you go from sundown of one day to sundown of the next day. And so that is a day for them. And so we'll call this the solar day theory. In other words, what we're saying is that when God said he created something in a day, that meant a day such as you and I understand the day. Now, we have, if you have an old Schofield King James Bible, you have 4004 BC up in the margins, that this is when the earth was created. There are some people that go so far as to say that it was 10 in the morning when it was created. And so anyway, the 4004 BC is a number which was Joseph Usher came up with. Joseph Usher tried his best to come up with when the earth was created, and we think now that 4004 BC is probably not exactly accurate. Now, the way he created these numbers was by taking the Old Testament chronologies, and so figuring out, it says so-and-so died, and then they had children, and then they died, and then they had other children, and then they died, and it gives the years there. And so he added up all of these years. The problem with this is that the Jewish genealogy is not strictly from father to son, father to son. And we have a situation in Genesis and in Luke where we have two chronologies and they don't exactly agree. In Genesis, we have Shem, which was a son of Noah, Arpachshad, Shelah, Eber, and Peleg. Those are listed there. Then in Luke, we have the genealogy, but it's given in the reverse order, Peleg, Heber, which is the same as Eber. Now remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek, and when you translate from one language to another, your spelling isn't always the same. For instance, how do you spell czar? Like the Russian czar? You can spell it T-S-A-R or C-Z-A-R. All right, so we have that type of thing that's showing up here. So we have Peleg, Heber, Shelah, Canaan, Arpachshad, and Shem. Canaan is added in Luke's chronology, which was not in the chronology in Genesis. But Luke's chronology doesn't give you the ages, and so Usher probably just ignored that. Another thing that we have, and so there could be other skips that we have. Another thing is that when it says son of, this does not always mean direct son of, especially in Jewish chronology. A son of, that somebody is a son of Abraham. That just means that he is descendant of Abraham. There could be many generations there. Okay, I am a son of Benjamin Deckard. Benjamin Deckert was not my father, but was my great-great-grandfather. And so we have some of that that shows up in the chronology. So the 4004 BC may not be totally accurate. However, the millions and millions of years that you have in the scientific world is not accurate either. Now, the word that we have here for day is Yom, Y-O-M. Now, you've heard of Yom Kippur, all right? That is just the day of Kippur. And so Yom is the Jewish word for day. Now, this day, this word for day, again, can have several different meanings. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Okay, the day of eternity is not a solar day. It's not a 24-hour day. It's a time period. So the people that are saying that we have long ages and that we have an old earth would say that Yom could be a long period of time. We also have in Job chapter 21, verse 30, that the evil man is spared in the day of calamity, that he is rescued in the day of wrath. Again, that is not referring to a specific 24-hour day, but Yom can here refer to a long period of time. However, I do believe that the day that's given here, Yom, is a 24-hour day or a short period of time. Now, a couple of ways in which we can see this is that if Yom was used with a number, with an ordinal, it referred to it as a solar day or a specific day as we understand it. So we have the first day, the second day, the third day, and God mentioned this in his creation. He put all of these numbers in there so that we know that this was a solar day that he was referring to when he formed the creation. We also see that if a part of a day is mentioned, that also referred, Yom meant that this was a 24-hour or a solar day. And it mentions this evening and morning. You wouldn't use evening and morning if you were talking about a long period of time, as Yom is a long period of time. You wouldn't use evening and morning. That refers to a specific day. Then we see that in every one of the accounts that God gave of each day, it says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So he uses the description of the day, the evening and the morning, and he uses the number, ordinal, the first day. And so this would mean that it would be a 24-hour day. Another thing that, and I've had other people that have argued with me about this, but one of the things that I've never had a good, an individual be able to explain this to me, and this is if we go to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, this is verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy." So as God is giving the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, he is using the days of creation, and they understand this in their term of solar days. So the idea that this could be a long period of time, if it was, then the Jews could have rested for a long period of time. And so, because it says the seventh day that they rested. Well, no, that was a 24-hour day, and so they should understand it as being that. Another thing I want to talk about is, and I I make more of this than some people do, than many people do. But I think that, okay, I am a trichotomist. There's trichotomists and dichotomists. A trichotomist belief means that there are three parts. There's a body, the soul, and the spirit. A dichotomist believes that there's a body and a soul spirit. Okay, I like being a trichotomist, and maybe this comes about because of my scientific background. Some of you don't really know me, but I taught science classes for 58 years in high schools, colleges, and so on. And so I'm somewhat familiar with the subject. But anyway, we have the word create that's given here. God created the heavens and the earth. And the word that's used for create is bara, B-A-R-A. Then there's another word that's actually used. There's two words that are used. And one of these is asa, which means to make something. And the other one is isir, Y-S-A-R, which also means to make something. Okay, God says that here that he created. Now, bara means from nothing. And I had an individual in my Sunday school class who said God didn't even need nothing to create the world. And so you do not create anything. If you sow something, if you build something, I like to build stuff, toys and things like this, I am not creating anything. I'm just rearranging what God has already given. And I'm rearranging this into various parts, and sometimes it looks okay and sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, this is would be asa and isir. Bara means to make from nothing. So God says he created the heavens and the earth. Now, when he created this, he actually created quite a few things. One is that he created the elements. He created all of the elements. He also created light and dark that we have here. And it says that God called the light day and the darkness he called night. Now, he did not create the sun, the moon, and the stars at this time yet. It's just that he created the light and dark. Now, what was the light? I'm not sure, but I speculate that it was probably just God's glory, the Shekinah glory of God that he had. And people said, well, how could he make that so that you'd only have light on half of the earth and darkness on the other half? That's not really a problem for the individual who can create from nothing a whole world with all of the elements that we have. And so I think that he created or he gave the light at this time. So on day one, we have he created time, he created the matter, and he created the light and the dark. Then we see in day two, God created, it says he created the firmament. Now there's scientists and creation scientists have debated about what the firmament is. We do know, it says that the entire earth was covered by water at this time. And so this would be without form. It does have the water, so there is some substance there, but there's no form there other than what gravity gives it. But we see that we have the earth being covered by water, and then it says that the earth was the water was separated from the heavens. There was something for a while that was really handy, which was called the canopy theory. And the canopy theory was the idea that the water up in the heavens, that this was up there, and that this was where the water from the flood came from. But scientifically, it's impossible to support that much water up in the atmosphere that we would be able to have the Noachian flood from this. So scientists, creation scientists, are kind of saying, no, we can't really explain this with the canopy, but we know that God said that he separated the waters on the earth from the waters above the earth, which would have been in the heavens. Then we see in day three. Now in day three, it said that, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and so on. He did not create these. He brought these forth from what he had created on day one. Now, plants, animals, and so on are made up of all of the different elements. There's hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, all of these things. I believe that God created all of these things on the first day when he created matter. Now on day three, he just organized these things into plants that were growing. We have the dry land appears. I don't have a problem with the having one continent. And so that this, since this is singular, there would have been one continent that we have. What happened there? Okay, yeah. Earth, matter. I forget about pushing this thing along. So I'm really behind time. Okay. Sorry about that. Back when I started teaching, we didn't have all of this handy stuff. So anyway, the plants now had a type of life that was present in them. But God did not have to make the plants from nothing. He used the elements that he already had in the earth and formed those. Now, when the dry land appeared, okay, you've got this sphere that's covered with water. How did the dry land appear? Okay, probably what happened is that we had areas where it bulged on up and other areas where it was pushed down. And that's, as this occurred, you would now have water that would run off. Deep layers of rock that we have that were formed do not have fossils in them. Okay? This would have been before life was formed, and so there wouldn't have been fossils. If there were any fossils, it would have just been some types of simple plant fossils that we have. But we wouldn't see any animal fossils here. One of the few places that you can see this type of thing, where you can see this, what could have been the original layers of the earth, would be if you take the hike into the Grand Canyon. You go down the Bright Angel Trail or the South Kaibab Trail, you go all the way down to the river. You are now in rock layers. These rock layers were laid down probably here during the formation of the things on day three. So we have the water caused erosion, things to happen there. Then we go on to day four, the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, the sun, the moon, and the stars, their real purpose was for them to show the time and to show seasons, and they were not made for astrology, and we do have individuals that will use this as astrology, but we see that in Psalm 19, chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So first off, I back up just a minute here, that the sun basically gives us our day and night, all right? And so the sun is up, it's daytime, it's down, it's nighttime, all right? The moon basically gives us our seasons. And the Native Americans and other Native tribes, they would go by the moon as to when they would, there was the harvest moon and there was the planting moon and all of this type of thing. So the moon gave seasons. Then we see that the sun also gives days and also gives years. So that one time around the orbit of the sun gives you 1 year. So God created the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs, for days, for years, for months, etc. Said that the heavens declare the glory of God. Sky proclaims his handiwork. If you've ever seen northern lights, you've seen the northern lights and see the glory that you have from this. Or if you go to a place where you're able to see stars, those of you that live in the city never get to see the stars. But one of the greatest places to see stars is from the bottom of the Grand Canyon at night. It's better at night than during the daytime. But anyway, you're down there, there's absolutely no ambient light. And the stars just pop out at you. If some of you have spent time in the Boundary Waters, you have the same thing there. You see the stars there. So they truly do declare the glory of God. Then it says also in Psalm 8, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which have set in place," you set the marvelous part of this. You know, we circle the earth. I mean, we circle the sun. And we have the moon that circles the earth. And we have other planets that are circling us all the time. And people aren't too concerned about them running into each other. They are more concerned about space junk running into us now than they are about the planets running into each other. God created these with a specific pattern. It shows that he set these in place and that they are showing us who God really is. Then in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have made clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world the things that have been made." And so we see that people should know that this creation shows that there is a design. And I have a whole session on design and the design that we have present in various animals and plants and so on. So anyway, we see that God created this earth for these purposes. Another thing is that he created him kind of for a practical standpoint. Matthew chapter 16, he answered them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be stormy, today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." So even the, you see this red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Okay, so even the skies show us some of what the weather is going to be like in the next few hours. And so the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. Now, why did God wait until day 4 to create the sun, the moon, and the stars? He could have created them on day 1. That would have saved him from using his Shekinah glory for those first 3 days, although I suppose he has immeasurable amounts of Shekinah glory, so that's not a problem for God. But anyway, why did he not create the sun, moon, and stars earlier? I think one of these reasons is because man has a tendency to worship things that he doesn't know about. Deuteronomy chapter 4, tells us, "And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that our Lord your God has allotted to the peoples under the whole heaven." So if God would have created the sun, the moon, and the stars the first day, it's possible that man would be more likely to worship those rather than to worship the Creator that made them. So I think that, again, God had a purpose there, and that the sun, moon, and the stars are not for astrology, as we see many individuals do it using. Then we go, and you'll notice that all of these things up to this point have all been made from something. They have not been created. And so now we go to day five. Okay, the day five, we have the creation of the birds and the sea creatures. Now, it tells us, God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves. I think this was God creating animal life. This is what makes animals different from plants. All right, now, you don't really have any problems with biting into a fresh apple. Actually, that apple is alive. You might even eat the seeds, and that doesn't bother you. And they have some type of life, but it's different from animal life. Most people don't eat animals when they're alive, unless you were a drunken college student back in the 20s and they were swallowing goldfish. But anyway, we have animal life is different, and God created this animal life at this time when he created the birds and the sea creatures. So we have this, and it says that they reproduced after their kind. This was one of the things that God showed, that they reproduced. And if you are going to have evolution, you can't reproduce after your kind, but you have to reproduce after something a little bit different, and eventually you'll end up with something that's totally different. Then we see in day six, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the field." And so we have the land animals and man that were created on this day. Now, when it talks about the livestock or the cattle, those are probably the domestic organisms. We have the beasts. Those are probably the wild animals, or those that were not created for us to be able to use for carrying out our normal life responsibilities. But we see here that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." But then in verse 27 it said, "So God created," bara, "man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Now we have two aspects to man. One is that the human form was made. So this was made from what God had already created, the elements that he had created and so on. But the God-likeness, which was different from the animal likeness or the animal life, is what was God created. This was barad at this time that made us in the image of God. So we see that God went through all of these things. It says, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature." So we are totally separate from the animals as far as this is concerned. If you're a vegetarian, that's fine, but but it has really nothing to do with your spirituality. God told Noah that they could eat of every animal, every organism that was on the earth, and that this was not forbidden. Before this time, there was a time where man was not eating animals. But we see that, and I'm not sure whether this is going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. Are we not going to have T-bones or prime rib? I'm not sure about that. But anyway, at this time, God said that we could eat the animals. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then we see that we go to the seventh day. And the day, the seventh day, we've talked about this, the seventh day was the day of rest. So a picture that I like to show here is that the day of rest during this time came at the end of the creation week. You had to go through your whole week of life before you got your day of rest. With the Christ dying on the cross, rising the first day, now we have Sunday, which is our day of rest, and then you get your week of work. So this is grace. We are now living in the time of grace rather than living in the time of law and the time of work. So it's kind of like having a job, a brand new job, and the boss says you can take your vacation, your 2 weeks of vacation now, and then when you get back, we'll get you to work. That usually doesn't work that way. And so, but that's the way God has given as far as creation is concerned. Thank you for your attention, and there's a lot of other areas that I could go into and maybe will. And if you go on the trip to the Black Hills, we will be spending time on some of these other aspects that I just touched on. Shall we bow in a closing word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we thank you once again for being with us throughout this day. We thank you, Lord, for giving us strength for the beautiful day. Thank you again for the account that you've given to us of creation and how wonderful you have made things for us. We ask these things now in your precious name. Amen.